just a testimony. And you see, I really didn't ask Vicky before time to testify on that. But you know, these are the testimonies that we as a church need to live from. Those are the things that we need to encourage each other. Okay? These are the things, like this building, everything that's here. There's so many things that we can pile up as a memorial stone and say, thank you, God, for giving us something. Thank you for providing. Thank you for giving us the manna. You know, that's amazing. Father God, this morning we want to come and thank you, Lord God, and we want to glorify and praise your name, Lord God. Thank you for Vicky, our sister's powerful testimony about you providing, about your grace, your love, Lord God. And Lord, nothing is impossible to you. We lift our hands and we say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. And Father God, this morning I want to pray as it's on my heart, Lord. And I want to say, Lord, give us a heart for the city. Give us a town for the, a heart for the people around us, Lord God, that we can love them, that we can serve them, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you'll bind our hearts together, Lord God, that we as Etienne and Anna, Lord God, can stand in covenant relationship with each other, that we can be there for each other, that we can celebrate with Nujie and Karina when a baby is born, Lord God. Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end, Lord. And we want to say this morning, we serve a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you called us to do good works. Lord, thank you that your presence are here this morning, that you love each and every one of us so much, that we are so special to you, Lord God, that we are not a group just number from 1 to 60 or 70 this morning, that you love us, Lord God. Lord, you, as I just discovered this week again, Lord God, you hate sin, but you love sinners, Lord God. Thank you for loving us so much. We thank you for your cross, Lord God, and Lord Jesus, what you did on the cross. Lord, I pray that you'll minister to our hearts this morning, Lord, that we can switch off our minds and that our spirits can receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. I've brought two knives to church. I want to show them to you. The one is a little one. It's the case the pastor brings knives. Anyone objecting? Three people objecting. I'm overruling that. That's the one knife, and here's the second one. Okay. Now this one, I use at home. I put butter on my bread, maybe peanut butter on my bread. Thank you, Jepson. Jepson has blessed us with lots of homemade peanut butter. That's awesome. But you know, this knife, you know, it's not very special to me. I'm not sure what it's worth. We've got a few like these ones in the drawer at home. You know, and if this one would get lost, I maybe won't stay awake at night about it. You know, it's got a function, but it's not really that special to me, okay? Now, this little knife, I got it about 20 years ago. I had to calculate. My dad was in France. He was in Paris. If you were to talk to me afterwards, I'll show you the picture of the Eiffel Tower. And he gave it to me as a present when he came back. I think in those days there wasn't a lot of, you know, laws like you can't travel with a knife. I guess you could have traveled with one in those days. But this one is really special to me. It also has a purpose. I guess you can cut stuff, eat biltong with it, stuff like that, nice things. Okay? But if I were to lose this knife, it would really be sad. I really would miss it. Not that I use it every day or look at it, but it has something special to me. My dad gave it to me when I was a young boy as a present. And I value this. I was so angry with myself a year or two ago. I had to fly back from Cape Town and I didn't know what happened. But in my, I had a little red Victorinox or those Swiss Army knives, a small one in my bag. And then where I stood there at Cape Town International, and my dad, I remember he bought it in Itosha, also about 20 years ago. And it really was one of those special things. Okay? And I was standing there at the machine and go, beep, beep, beep. And I thought, okay, the machine is wrong. And the lady asked, please open up. Ah, man, can you believe it? There with my diary and my calculator and everything, there was my little precious knife. So I had an option. Either me and the knife stay in Cape Town, or I give it away. Or there's this big, big, black, ugly bin that you can drop it in. I don't know, have you seen those things? It's really bad. So I thought, no ways, I'm not going to just drop this knife into that dark hole there. It's too bad. I can't do that. You know, and I walked there and I thought, Lord, I'm going to bless someone with this knife. I want to give it to someone. And I saw a guy that's cleaning there and I walked to him and I said, I've got this problem now. I want to bless you with this knife. It means a lot to me. I hope it will mean something to you. And I walked away. And I was so sad because I lost my special knife. Because I was stupid, I guess. Okay? But the point is that I want to make. In our lives, in our homes, there's some things that represent this little knife. There's some things that represent this. And then other things that represent this, let's say, butter knife or general purpose knife, something like that. Okay? And we all have things like that. You will know in your life what it is. Okay? And some things in life are special. Some things in life are valuable. Some things are worth investing in. And some things, you know, they come and they go. But one thing, and I want to share on that a little bit this morning, is our testimonies. Do you know, we've got the awesome opportunity right now. We are writing our testimonies. You know, and God is going to mark our papers one day. We've got the opportunity right now today to do something about it. And you know, it's one of those things, whether you decide to do something or not, something is being right, is going to be on that paper for every day. I can call it maybe your spiritual CV, if I may use that language. Okay? And all of us are designed to look different. All of us are writing different things on there. And you know, sometimes we do stupid things, we sin, we get stuff wrong. Okay? But you know, there's grace. God, Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and we can come clean before God. If you were on Saturday, which is yesterday, if you were not in a relationship and maybe not born again, as we were to say, and you got born again today, your home loan will still probably be there on Monday. Or the money you owe to the bank for this matter or for that matter, something stay there. You know, I've got stuff I did in my life which I believe God forgave me for. But the marks are still there in a sense. You can heal that as well. But when you fell with your bicycle when you were 4 years old and there's a scar or something, some of those things, it sticks for life. Okay? But our testimonies are one of those special things that I'm not sure how it's going to work one day in heaven if we're all going to stand there. I've read Driven by Eternity and John Bevere talks about this big screen and everyone's testimony is going to be projected there. What you did in life or what you didn't do in life. But the thing this morning is, every day we have an opportunity because we can make decisions to add to that, to change what it says about us. And that's really a blessing. That's something in my heart that I want to share with you guys this morning. If I say Nelson Mandela, then you all know what type of a person was, what his story was or is. If I were to say someone like Bill Gates, you know who he is. We know who he is. Okay, he's a very wealthy man. He's got his story. And if I were to give the mic and start there with you guys, with the young ladies from RTS, and I were to say, tell us your story. What is your story this morning? You will tell something, and the person next to you, everyone has got something different. We all walked a different road to get to the place where we are right now. And as we are walking this road in the relationship with Jesus Christ, His church, the people around us in church, outside church, everywhere, that story, we write something on it. So what does your story say this morning? It's important that we know. You know, which one of these two knives are you representing? You know, as a Christian, and when I say Christian, I think we got to a place in history where we can't just say a Christian, because Christian means one thing to a certain person, and to another person, it means totally different. Who of you have heard about Rob Bell? Carla, there's a few guys, Tracy, you guys, Lachia. Now, famous Rob Bell said there's no hell. That's his quote. He's one of those Christians, or someone that will see himself as a Christian, but he will say to you, everyone that ever lived will go to heaven, because of God's love is so big. God's love can send no one to hell. But that's not what we read in Scripture. That's not the way it is. So I want to talk about a Bible-believing Christian. You know, when the U.S. government, or I guess any government, when they want to when they train people to see what is a fake Namibian dollar bill or a US dollar bill or a South African rand, you know, they don't teach them what the wrong ones look like. They teach them what the right ones looks like. Those guys will study. Those agents, they will study a US bill with all the little things on it, whether it's Freemason or Illuminati or not. I'm not that clued up on that, but apparently there's a lot to it. I don't know if you watch National Treasury, but apparently, I don't know, that's not my calling to look into those type of things. But you see, they study the exact perfect US dollar bill note. And when it's so imprinted on their hearts, they can very easily, they will see what the fake one looks like. They will see this is not real. It's counterfeit. Okay? And when we want to see now who's Christian and who's not, we can't walk around and judge and say you are and you aren't. We're not called for that. Okay? But you know, when we try take the prism of Scripture and we look through that, we will know. All of us will know who's a true Christian and who's not. You know, in these days, you know, there's a wonderful example if you can get your hands on last month's April, or this month's April, or the previous one, I think the new one is out already, the Joy magazine. You can read it. It's really a good magazine, and there's something on counterfeit Christianity, you know. And it simply, it isn't okay to be unequally yoked or to worship celebrities, in a sense, those type of things. It was always wrong, and it will always be wrong. They talk about Christlam, where they're trying, some guys are trying to make a marriage between Islam and Christianity. You can't do that. It's wrong. According to, I think it's Errol Naidu that wrote an article, he said, it's the fastest growing religion in the world. Now, I haven't went to check it, but, you know, there's so many false things these days. We need to know what the blueprint are. And it's the Word of God. That's the thing. That's the measure that we test things against. Aaron spoke last week on pursuing. Aaron preached last week, and he talked on urgency to pursue. Okay, and I want to start off with two scriptures that he used, and I want to preach on the wing of that, but from another angle. Revelation 22, verse 12. It's not so clear, but I hope you can see there. And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. That means what you have done, what you haven't done. If you haven't chose Christ, then you are actually still choosing against him. In Peter 4 verse 5, but they will have to gain to give an account to him who is ready to judge and pass sentence on the living and the dead. You know? So, we today, many people will tell you a Christian can be a nice person who has got like respect for God, that type of a thing. But we can't live from those soft things and just say, we won't steal, we won't hurt. That doesn't make you a Christian. Relationship with Jesus Christ makes you a Christian. Knowing Scripture doesn't make you a Christian. That doesn't mean I know who Nelson Mandela is, but I don't know him. I don't know what food he likes, or what clothes he prefer, what sports teams he supports, and stuff like that. But those two scriptures are talking about Jesus will come back, and he will judge all of us according to our works as well. Okay? And it's really important, and this is what's on my heart. You know, you can come to me today and say, Pastor, can I testify about the thing that happened in my life? Or maybe you can come and you can talk to me or to anyone else about the things that you would still like to see to happen in your life, maybe for the rest of this year. Maybe you want to fast for the first time in your life and just see what happens, okay? Maybe you want to spend more time in the Word, join a different ministry, starting serving at a new place, something like that, okay? And all those things we are writing down on our CVs, our spiritual CVs. That's why I said this morning, it's so precious when we have a testimony to tell about God's provision or about His grace in our lives or anything. We need to talk about someone else's testimony. It's nice. But we must have our own. That's what someone like Pastor Sias, he always says, how old is your last testimony? When was the last time that God did something in your life? Or you allowed Him to do something? Or maybe He did something and you could recognize it? The testimony, I can tell you this morning, if it's 3 years old, then it's time for me to step up. Then it's time to get new testimonies. Then I need to challenge myself. And this is something, you know, I just sense in my heart, and that's why I it's so awesome to hear Aaron's sermon last week about this urgency. I just feel something, you know, God wants us to do stuff. You know, so I'll get to, some of you might think now, is Pastor talking about works and, you know, the whole thing about works and salvation and that. I'll get to that a little bit later. But friends, we've got this awesome opportunity. Whether we are going to be here for a few more months or 40, 50, 60 years, we can do something. We can write something down. Something that will echo in eternity. Because what we do here in this lifetime, it will echo in eternity. If it's bad, and ungodly, and against God, and against Jesus Christ, then you're going to get something bad against you. Okay? But if you are obedient to God's will, He will bless you. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 27. It's going to be up there, but I'm going to read four different translations to us, just to get to the heart of what I'm trying to tell you. I think I've got the New King James up there. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works. The English Standard Version puts the last part as follow. And He will repay each person according to what he has done. New American Standard Bible says, He will render account and reward every man in accordance with what he has done. And then another translation says, and then He shall render unto every man according to his deeds. Okay? So every day we are doing stuff. We are living a life. We are leaving something behind. If you are my sheep, and if I were to make you stand right now, then I will say different things about different people. Because God called all of us to serve or to be in different places. That's why there's the fivefold ministry. Do you know we have about 12 different ministries in our church where people can serve? And one person, I was talking to Richard yesterday, and he said since he was age of six, he started playing music and doing things. You know, when I was 26 and I got married, the worst thing for me was to dance on that first song. I just couldn't wait for it to get finished, because I've got, I don't know what, feet that can't dance. Okay, that's the way I was made, I guess, and I tried to learn, but it doesn't work. But I can do other stuff, okay? I've got knives. You know, okay, but God gave us all different qualities, and those, you know, when you look at team sports, we will always see people with different anointings. I personally like looking at rugby, and you'll see tall guys there and short round guys and fast ones and this ones and that ones, and I always get the picture of almost the Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, where there's a place, no matter who you are and what you can do, there's a place for you to give and to serve. And I love it the way God created us differently. Because say we could all in this church, we 60 people here this morning, and we all could just play drums. Yeah, we would make a lot of beautiful noise. Okay? But now there's different people that can play different instruments. One person was doing the announcement, another person was doing the offering pull, and I'm preaching, and there we go, and there we go. I love that about His church. Okay? And Jesus said He's going to come back, and He's rewarding, going to reward us according to our deeds, or according to our works, or according to what we have done. And it's something important. I don't want to preach this because I just selected and thought it's a nice message. I believe it's something for us for right now. We as a church has an opportunity to write something on our CV. I trust God. I really believe that we can in soon we will fill 200 chairs, and that we can fill 250 chairs, and maybe 500. I don't know how many chairs this hall can take. But what I do know is God loves us, and He loves the people outside here. There's many people. There's not a lot of churches in the southern part of Windhoek, okay?
And we need to really work hard on letting people know, we are here, you're invited, we want to love you. Okay? We need to get it right. And I promise you, I know God wants to add to us. I know that. Next scripture is from Ephesians 2, verse 10. And this is probably my key scripture for myself, but also for the church. I'm preaching to myself here this morning. This is one of those scriptures that I guess we can talk the whole morning on. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. I'm going to read it again. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. God wants us. We are all His workmanship. We didn't evolve from a fish pond or stuff like that. God made us. He made us in His image, and He made us male and female. Okay? That's blessed. That's the way God created all of us. Amen? But we are His work. His hands has formed us. And I don't know what God will share with us in eternity or not, but you know, I've got a limited bit of knowledge about biology, but the deeper you dig, you know, it's amazing how you see God's wisdom that God must have had to give us hands and thumbs and toes and hair and lungs and kidneys and all these things. It's beautiful. It's awesome. And to see how God created the universe and everything. But He created all of us for good works. Okay? Why? That He can be glorified. Because when we try to do works or anything, and it's to make us look good, we get it wrong. But when we serve that Jesus Christ can be glorified, then it's blessed. Because that's always, when you study the Gospels, then Jesus will always say, I'm saying this because the Father has showed it to me. I'm doing that because to glorify the Father. And we must do the same thing. Whatever we do, it is to glorify the Father. We are called to good works because we are His workmanship. We can display His grace by performing good works. Okay? I've made a few jokes over the years around this one, but I'm honest when I tell you, if 10 years ago, if you were to ask me to preach in front of people, I really would have rather run away than to do it. Okay? Etienne, I remember some of you, this many of you have been at it, but the old people, Aaron, Etienne, those of you who have been here from the start, Prisca, you would have remembered the jokes I made about myself and preaching, especially in English. Okay? But you know, I'm standing here, and some days I think, Lord, I'd rather would do something else because it's easier, it's less pressure. But I know God has called me for this season to do this. Not to that I can get anything from it, but He can be glorified. And I want to tell you this morning, you're not going to get away because I'm going to tell you that God wants each and every one of you to do something for Him, to serve, to give, to live, to let your light shine, because we are all called to good works. God has prepared that we should walk in them. Okay? And Paul is writing here and he's saying to us, I must just qualify this, when I talk about works, I'm not talking about the Jewish things like observing the Sabbath, getting circumcised, those type of things. I'm talking about Galatians 5. I'm talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Those type of things. Those type of works. Those type of things that come from our inner man. Okay, I'm talking about those type of things. Ephesians 3 verse 16. You know, it says that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, in your inner man. Okay? So God will come and He will lay something on your heart. He will lay something, and then as you grow as a Christian, you will learn to discern His voice. And then you need to, and this is for some of you this morning. Okay? Sometimes we think that one day I'm going to start serving here, doing that, fasting, reading more scripture, whatever it might be. But the time is now. The time is now, as Jaco has preached, Pastor Jaco from Swakop, in the first or the second week, I think it was the second week of this year. He said, you right now, right here, God wants to use you. Amen. And Paul says that God has beforehand, he has choose some of us to do certain things. Okay? God didn't choose me for the praise and worship team. He chose me for different things. But He chose Lachia and Leanne and Lloyd and Richard and you guys. He chose you. He gave you the skills. And what you do with your skills, God is going to hold us accountable one day to the things He has given us. And that's scary. Okay? Because Scripture talks about, I'm going to say the Afrikaans, because the right words doesn't come to my mind right now. Maar in Afrikaans, ons moenie ons talente onder die maat emmer bære nie. Okay? We shouldn't, the things we have been blessed with, we shouldn't put it away there where no one can see it. We must use it. Okay? And God says to us, He says to us, my grace is sufficient for you. Okay? He says that. And we can hold on to that. That because many times we are scared to do what He wants us to do. But His grace is sufficient. He will provide for us as we go. Okay? And this scripture says here, just which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. So if you are prepared to do something, God will equip you, okay? But He will lay on your heart, and lay on your heart, and lay on your heart certain things that you must embrace, and then you must go and do it. The Holy Spirit, He says, He's praying in Ephesians, and He says, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being. We don't have to go and psych ourselves up or anything. His Spirit, when we spend time in God's presence, in His Word, He will strengthen us. Okay? And from that place, we can serve, we can go. Okay? We are all new creations. And we are called for good works. And I want to encourage you this morning, friends, that we as a church, that we walk in that. I've been offended many times in the past 10 years in church. I got hurt many times. And I'm sorry if I've hurt you. I might have done that because of my own fallenness, my own sinfulness. So forgive me for that if I've hurt you in the past. It probably wasn't my intention. But as Aaron had said last week, it's going to happen all the time. And we must get past those things. We must walk past that. Because many times we'll say to God, God says to us, run. And then we'll say, God, but look at my shoes and my knee is hurting and my this and my that and those type of things. And I know I live life as well. Okay? But we need to grow past those things. Because I don't think those excuses are going to stand before God one day. And those of you teachers in the house, those of you who love Scripture and have studied, you will see now when we talk about works and deeds and doing some things like that, I'm not saying this morning that our good deeds, the good things we do, can bring us salvation or anything. We are saved by grace through faith. Okay? You can read wonderful things if you go and study about this almost tension between Paul and James, where it almost seems like a contradiction about who is saying what about deeds and about grace and works and things like that. In James 2, verse 26, we will see, you're already seeing it there. James is writing here and he's saying, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. He says, faith apart from works is dead. Okay? So he's saying to us, and we need to put it in context. So if you're born again, if you are saved, if you've got the Spirit, okay, then the outflow should be works. There should be something. Okay? And we will be seen by that. If you plant a tomato plant, it will start to grow and grow, and then sometime you're going to see flowers. And then a bit later, you're going to see little red tomatoes. That's the fruits that it has. Because it's planted and get its food and it's alive. And I want to encourage us, friends, that we bear those fruits as well that James is talking about. Then I want to come back. I've preached on this 2 weeks ago a little bit. But I really feel so strongly. Many of you, it was the long weekend and you weren't here. And I want to share it again. Because I believe God laid it on my heart for us for this season as a church. Something that we need to click. And it's about Jonah. Okay? God gives jobs for all of us. Where's Lachia? I want to use Lachia's example. Lachia is going to be a medical doctor in a few years of heart studies. But you know, she's also playing the drums here, or the percussion, you know. So she does two things. She's got certain things God called her to do. Now there was the man Jonah. There was this man Jonah, and God gave him certain things to do. And you know what? God is so amazing. He don't give us a chance and say, now you will do this. He always lays it on our hearts. And then we must decide what we're going to do with that. And I'm just going to read to you from Jonah 1 verse 1 to 1:3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, say, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. Now see what Jonah is doing. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with him to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was geographically going in exactly the opposite direction as Nineveh. They're mentioning that Tarshish three times here. And he's going exactly at the wrong place, away from God's presence. Okay? And he's missing it. Because it says the word of the Lord came to him. Jonah is a prophet. And when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, he should have submitted to it. But God has given us the story to learn something from that. How many times we don't do the same thing? God lays something on our hearts and I say, and I'll think, maybe next time, Lord. I'm a bit busy now. My kids are sick. I have to work hard this week, or I had to work hard, or whatever. And then we say to God the same thing as Jonah. We try and get in a boat and we hope that God will pick someone else. Or that if when we're away from His presence, that God will maybe leave us alone. Who have done that? I've done it. I thought like maybe if I hide or don't pray or anything, then God maybe will pass me over and maybe ask one of you guys. Okay? No. God wants obedience. And that's the key word. I believe we're in a season where we need to be honest with each other, that we're going to have to obey prophetically as a church, where God says move or move the venue or whatever it might be, then we do it. And I'm going to say it to you guys, who of you have seen the things in the media about churches and schools? Who have read it? One of your hands up high. You have seen that, okay? But we felt as the leadership and the elders, this is where we should be now, and we are here. But there's a bit of tension, and I can promise you, the headmaster of this school, his heart is so for us. It's a blessing. And I want to say it, and I want to thank him for that every day. But you know what? We're on thin ice, in a sense. But you know, we are going to be the church on the rugby field one day, if things turn out bad. And you know what? Then we are really going to grow. Listen to what I say to you this morning. So here, when we go to verse 4 of Jonah, it's all the translations I've studied, you can go home and check, it starts with but. And there's a good reason why it says but. And it says, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. And we know the rest of the story. They throw Jonah overboard, he got swallowed, and he walked that whole route. I'm not going to teach on that specifically this morning. But what I want you to see, I made a comparison, the next slide, Jackson, about chapter 1 and chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 3. And I want you to see it. We can read it together. Let me just get it. It's going to be easier. Sorry, guys. I'm going to have to. Those slides are very. Can one of you ladies maybe close the doors for just Rosalia 1 second? Then it's going to be a bit easier. Left-hand side, it says no. And the right-hand side, it says yes. In Jonah 1, it says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. And then in chapter 3, it says, let me just get my chapter 3. Here it's chapter 3. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, I hope that's a little bit better. I'm going to have to work on that slide on the left-hand side. You can just listen to me. Verse 1.2, there's something in it and I want you to get it this morning. Jonah 1.2, it says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. Now in chapter 3, after he was tossed over the board, he drowned apparently, he got swallowed up by the big fish. Then it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I will tell you." And now the key part is here in verse 3 in both chapters. You know now in chapter 1, 3, it says, Jonah flee, he went away. But after all of that happened, in chapter 3, it says so beautifully, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was exceedingly great city, 3 days journey in breadth. Okay? So the first scripture always says the word of God came to Jonah, etc. But the difference now is where in chapter 1 verse 3, he fled from God's presence and he didn't go and do God's word. In chapter 3, okay, we see the beautiful thing. Jonah is obeying now. He's listening to God. He's doing what God has called him to do. And this is beautiful, okay? In Jonah chapter 3 verse 4 and 5, it says, "Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes." Just because Jonah obeyed. And I guess Jonah, but do you see ourselves sometimes in this? The first time we run away, we try and think, but maybe I'm not going to do this right now. But then the fish will come and you will be tossed overboard. Okay? It's so much easier and blessed to obey. And when in God's will, this city, even the king, repented. It's a beautiful story for all of us. But it's something special that we need to learn. And it's about obeying. It's about obedience. And friends, I believe we are daily and daily moving into a place just more, where when God tells you, give that $10 to person A or B, fast, pray, whatever it might be, we should do it. For ourselves to be obedient, to write on our testimony for that day, something blessed about God's obedience, and we being obedient to that, and us as a church corporately being obedient. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Friends, and I want to encourage myself and all of you that as we are a Jonah and we need to move to that massive city, you had to walk 3 days to get through all of it. How intimate, I mean, those were the Assyrians. Those were the enemies of Israel. The bad guys. They didn't like each other. Okay? But Jonah obeyed. And there was a blessing. Okay? And the fruits of the deeds, the works that he went to do, what God told him, was a city that was safe. They repented. And God looked differently at them. And in our own lives, as we go, in the kingdom, so many times, we just need to take that first step ourselves. We need to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm afraid, I'm scared, but I'm going to take this step." And then 2 Corinthians 12:9, it will kick in, where it says, "My grace is sufficient for you. I will provide for you. Don't you worry about all the big things. I will do it." Jonah didn't make the king repent. God did. Jonah just spoke the words. And I want to encourage us. We need to be obedient. We need to be obedient. In the early church in Acts, we see great stories about people lying to the Holy Spirit and what happened to them. And this is not to make us scared, but it's biblical. Obey. I want to ask you this morning, what is God talking to you about in your life? It doesn't matter. I don't need to know, but God will be speaking to you. And if God is not speaking to you, and if you're not sure what he's talking to you about, you better go find out. But because he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. So many times, I get something in my heart, I get a scripture, and I know that's the sermon for Sunday. But then I have to wrestle this thing through, until I have all my scriptures, until I have everything I need to say. Maybe God is just dropping a word in your spirit this morning. maybe a sentence, a scripture, a vision. Maybe you're the guy or the girl or the lady that should start an orphanage for this church. I don't know. God will be speaking to you what is between you and Him. Okay? And it's going to be something that God is going to hold us accountable for and that He wants to reward us for. Jesus went away. He wants to prepare a place for us, He said. Okay? Something beautiful. Every day when we have a beautiful, beautiful morning like this when the sun rises, I just think, Lord, how beautiful heaven is going to be. How perfect it's going to be. It's amazing. But I want to know from you, you must go and check in your heart what God is speaking to you about, what you are doing about it, and if you can hear what He's saying. God has dreams for us. He wants us to do good works. He wants us to be a blessing. He wants us to be the salt and the light. Okay? And maybe you'll say to me, but Pastor, you have the opportunity to stand in the pulpit. I tell you, you guys see more unbelievers in a week than I do. Because I mainly work around the flock. Okay? And that's the place where we can... You have your own pulpit. You have the place to sow. Maybe God didn't call you to preach. But maybe He called you to pack chairs or to serve in whatever place. He will lay it on your heart. Aaron said last week that if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. And I want to challenge myself and you guys this morning. What are you going to do with the rest of 2012? Spiritually. Not this holiday there, maybe buying another knife, whatever it might be. I'm talking about, what do you want to do? Where do you want to grow? Where do you want to start to serve? Do you maybe want to fast a day or two? Get a Bible commentary? Listen more sermons on the internet? Or whatever it might be. I want to challenge you. And I'm challenging myself. I promise you that. I promise you that. And when we do that, we will hear the echo that His grace is sufficient. But go and find out what God wants to do with your life. Because I promise you, He wants to use you. Can we all stand this morning? I believe we have the opportunity for the rest of this year to ask God what He wants to do through our lives. What good works we can do. Okay? And you need to prayerfully go to God and ask Him about this. Some of you have very, very clear vision where you are going. And I've got a suspicion some of you are just on the way. When you're just on the way, you're going nowhere. Okay? And it might sound hard to you this morning, but I'm saying this in love. Because it's when you and I am going to stand before God one day, it's better that we almost got something right than rather when we had the shotgun approach of just trying a bit here, trying a bit there. He wants us to obey. And I believe for some of us here this morning, there's been things that's been in our hearts for quite a while. Things that you have put there on the back burner maybe. God has spoken to you. But I want to challenge you to go to God this morning and ask Him and say, Lord, that word You gave to me, that thing You have laid on my heart, maybe it's to help with this or to help with that, whatever it might be. Go and speak to God about it. It's in your own, it's for you. Then, another thing I really feel I need to say as the pastor of this church. If you are not in a place, and I mean we're only about half of the church here this morning, but if you are in a place where you aren't discipled, okay, where you're not submitting to that, I guess you must think about it. There's a place where we all need to submit, okay? It's going to sound hard, but if this is not the church for you, then I will ask you rather to go to the church where you must be, where you can grow. There's many blessed churches. I'm not chasing anyone. You guys know me now for 3.5 years. But please be at the place where you can receive inputs in your life. There's small groups. There's many ministries. And the last thing that I feel I need to say to us this morning, friends, God is not impressed when we tip Him. We tip a waiter. Our time, our finances, all those things. Everything, it belongs to God. We must decide what we keep back. The rest belongs to Him. if you earn $2 million a month, okay, then you tithe, or then you keep $200 for yourself and you tithe the rest. We need to understand that thing. It comes from God. It belongs to Him. We are just stewards of that. So this morning, in terms of what God has given us, let's not stand before God one day and that He said you have been a good tipper, but that He will say to you, you have been a good giver, a good servant. And we close our eyes. Lord God, we want to stand before You humble and naked today, Lord God. And Father, none of us can say we've got it all. We've got it right, Lord. We are perfect. Lord, I pray for us as a church, Lord, that our works, the things we do, the things we participate in, Lord, that it will be pleasing to You, Lord. Father, if any of us are in the wrong ministries, Lord, please guide us to the right ones. Lord, that we can flourish, that what You have given us, those gifts, Lord, You have called us to do good works. Lord, that we will be obedient, Lord God, that we will be the Jonas of chapter 3 and not chapter 1. Lord, that we don't have to fall and get hurt first, get swallowed by a whale or drown before we get things right. But we will get it right because we know what obedience is about. Lord, I pray it in Jesus' name. Lord, I know that it's on Your Father's heart. We are Your children and that You want to speak to all of us. Lord, I pray for myself, Lord, and for you guys, that we can become quiet before God and listen to what the Father wants to say to us regarding where He wants us, what He wants to do through our lives. Lord, we thank You, Father, for Your love and Your blessing, Father God. And Lord, You called us to preach the hard words as well, not just the nice ones, Lord. We believe in heaven and hell as a church. Father, we believe in Your cross, Lord God. We believe in Your word, Lord God. And Father, I trust once again, Lord, that there will be something happening in our hearts. We ask for it this morning, Lord, that our hearts will grow for Windhoek, for the people around us. Lord, that we will love everyone, that everyone will feel welcome, Lord, and that people will start to come into Your kingdom, start to come into Your kingdom. And Lord, that we can stand up, love and disciple them, Lord God. I pray it in Jesus' name. As we are standing and Your eyes are closed this morning, I want to ask you, God has been speaking to you this morning, okay? Whatever it might be, maybe you are the person here that's been tipping God with your time. Maybe in your quiet time you say, God, Lord, I'll give You the last 5 minutes of my day. Please speak to me. God is not okay with that. If God is speaking to you regarding that, or maybe God is speaking to you this morning about something that's been in your heart for a while, but you always are the one that says, God, one day when I've got more money, one day when I have more time, then I'll respond. If that is you this morning, I want you to respond to that. If God has been speaking to your heart this morning, I want you now to raise your hand, no matter what it is. Can I see your hands this morning? As people that are raising your hands, I want to challenge you. Come and stand next to me this morning. It's between you and God. You need to speak to the Father. I'm calling you now. All of you that raised your hands, please come and please just respond to God this morning and come and stand here. We will pray for you afterwards. But I want you to do something bold this morning and to step out and to say to God, Lord, this morning this thing is going to stop. That thing you're doing in secret, that in the Old Testament, to have another man's wife, it was sinful. Jesus came and He said, even if you just in your mind you lust after another woman, it's adultery. If you are doing something like that in your heart, you must stop this morning, okay? Whatever you are doing and you know it's wrong, make it right between you and God. Don't let that thing be another day on your spiritual CV, on your testimony. Come to God and say to Him, Lord, I want to stop this. And it's going to be tough, I promise you.